All right. Well, it's good to be sharing with our big, big family today on all five of our campuses and around the world over the web. Man, we're glad everybody's here. We're especially happy about what's happening at our Effingham campus out in Rincon this week. You know, a couple weeks ago, we prayed a prayer of dedication for the new 810 student ministry building out at Effingham, which is the first building that's being paid for by our One campaign. Last Wednesday night, they had their first Element meeting of high school students out there. Didn't really advertise it. It was just like a soft opening, you know, just to see if everything worked in the building. Amazingly, 191 high school students showed up. Isn't that great? That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm telling you, man, they came out for a great time of worship and study, and that building is doing exactly what we have prayed it would do. It is creating an environment for people to get into a life-changing connection with Jesus and with other students who love Jesus. And the really exciting news is the grand opening for that building is happening this week. And man, let's stop right now and let's pray on all of our campuses that God will bless the work out at Effingham and this new facility. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to just lift up our friends out in Effingham. Lord, you have given them a gift. You've done it through our whole church. Lord, it's such an amazing display of character that every campus has contributed to the building of that 810 building out at Effingham. And Lord, I just pray that you would fill that place with your spirit. I pray, God, that Jesus would be lifted up in a powerful, dramatic way. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would do his work in that building. And I pray, Lord, that there will be students who will be encouraged and strengthened in their faith. And Father, that they will reach out and lead their friends to a life-changing relationship with Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for every Savannah Christian, every Compassion Christian who has contributed to the One campaign. And we're going to be hearing stories about students being baptized into Christ, which will be the fruit of these financial sacrifices. And Father, I'm just so thankful for the kind of church that would invest in heaven, invest in eternity, take dollars we could waste now and use them in a way where they'll be paying dividends forever. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless them as they serve you tonight, as they teach the gospel in Effingham. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Man, I'm telling you, I love to see students getting together like they're getting together out at Effingham right now. Because friends, they're getting connected with Jesus. They're getting connected with other followers of Jesus. And that is what the Bible calls fellowship. Everybody say fellowship.
Fellowship.
That's what it is. Now, if you've been around our church for very long, you know that the second chapter of Acts is literally the DNA, kind of the source code for our entire church. Acts 2 was about the launching of the church by the apostles. The apostles were leaders who are hand-trained by Jesus himself. You know, the water is always the purest at its source. And so, man, we love to look at the launch phase of the church to learn how we do church in our day. And so if you've got your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If you haven't marked this in your Bible yet, this will be a great opportunity for you to do that. It says, and this is a description of what the church looks like when it's working right. It says that the followers of Jesus were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, let's read that all together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, friends, I want you to look at this word, fellowship. This is a reference to living with a sense of connection. We live in a sense of community in the church. Man, when the church is working right, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. There are no disconnected loners out there who are trying to live for Jesus in some self-elected, you know, isolation. That's not how it works when the church is working right. Listen, one of the reasons why the impact of the early church just swept across the Roman Empire, even though the Roman government outlawed Christianity and tried to stamp it out with persecution, the reason the gospel just whipped across the Roman Empire is because people found in the church a sense of connection with Jesus and with God and with other people that they couldn't find anywhere else in life. Man, fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia, which means to share life. And friends, when you start to share life with Jesus and you start to share life with other people who love Jesus, I'm telling you that need for connection is satisfied in a healthy way in your life. And that pull down the wrong path is not quite as strong in your life. You know, back in June, I got a call from some folks in our Christian Builders class. Now, the Christian Builders class is a life group that meets on campus here, and it's made up of the most mature people in our church. By that, I mean, when you graduate from that class, you go to heaven. You know what I'm talking about? That's the last stop at Savannah Christian right there. And I started getting these calls from a couple ladies in that class, Doris McKinney and Priscilla Duchamp. and some other members of that class about a guy in their class, and his name is Robert Warren. Now, this is the Christian Builders class. When they went out for our launch of the Compassion Christian site, you know, a couple years ago, and this is Robert Warren right back here. This is Priscilla and Doris, the two troublemakers. But anyway, this is Mr. Warren. Now, we started getting calls about Mr. Warren because he had developed a brain tumor. And that brain tumor was causing him some life-threatening trouble. They knew I was getting ready to leave for my summer study time, and they wanted me to go see him in the hospital before I left. They really wanted me to go see him. A lot. Like, not take a no for an answer. Like, every time I saw them, they're like, "Have you seen Bobby yet?" No, ma'am. Well, I went to see him in the hospital. And when I got to the hospital, his daughter was there. His granddaughter was there. We had a great conversation about some huge issues that they had to deal with as a family because of his illness. I prayed for Mr. Warren. And the next time I saw him was at his funeral right here in this room the day I got back from my summer studies. Now, Mr. Warren was an usher here at the Henderson campus. On Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, he stood right over there and greeted everybody that came into the worship center right over there every week. One of his life groupers who served with him, and this is the guy. Hey, can you back up to that last picture? This is Dale right here, all right? Dale's in that class, and Dale is also an usher, and he served with Mr. Warren, and he told me last week that he went to see Mr. Warren in the hospital to tell him a joke. Now, Mr. Warren loved jokes. He loved funny stories, and Dale had a doozy. He tried it on me, and I think it's a great joke for a men's retreat, all right? I can't really use it here, but great joke, all right? So anyway, he went up to the hospital to tell Mr. Warren this joke. Now, you know why he went up there. He went up there to check out his bud, right? And Mr. Warren's tumor developed to the place where he couldn't speak anymore, and, you know, it was kind of a sad thing, you know, just watching him slip away from earth and into heaven. And so Dale goes up and lays this joke on him, and Mr. Warren couldn't speak, but he smiled. And when Dale left the room, Mr. Warren's daughter went with him, and she said, "Thank you so much for coming. Daddy hasn't smiled in 2 weeks. Thanks for coming." Now, friends, you know why Dale and Bobby were friends, right? Fellowship. They were friends because they shared life together here at church. Do you know why Doris and Priscilla and Jean and all the women in that class were calling me and encouraging me to go see him in the hospital? Fellowship. They were sharing life with Mr. Warren. And you know, Jesus says that when the church is working right, you know, you laugh at those who are laughing and you weep with those who are weeping. And Mr. Warren and his family were weeping, but they were not weeping alone because of fellowship. Now, at the funeral, something came up that he and I had talked about, I'm telling you, decades ago. Mr. Warren was a pool shark. And he could play pool, man, I'm telling you. He loved to play pool. Matter of fact, he made a lot of money playing pool. But he told me that led him to an addiction to gambling. And man, he told me about how he struggled with that addiction and how much it had cost him in terms of his family and money and all that kind of stuff and what a struggle it was to beat that addiction. He told me part of the freedom that he found from that addiction was because of the fellowship he experienced here at this church. You know, he found at this church a circle of friends who would love him and encourage him and kind of a new set of folks to hang out with. He found at this church the resolve and the tools that he needed to break that addiction and another group of people who loved him. And you know, friends who would walk with him down a path that just goes to a healthier place. And friends, we all need that kind of fellowship. And that's why we're trying to get everybody in our church to be a part of a life group. Everybody say life group. Life groups and ministry teams are where you're going to learn to share life with people who love the Lord just like you do. And can I just say, this is a crazy thing to say, but honestly, life groups are where many of us are going to learn how to do relationships for the first time in our lives. I can't tell you how many people I've counseled with here at church and our pastors counsel with, and their life is just upside down because they don't know how relationships work. They grew up in some horribly dysfunctional family that blew up. And then they got stuck with abandonment issues and communication issues or just more emotional intelligence issues or don't know how to love issues. And the bottom line is they don't have a clue how to do relationships. Consequently, they just crash marriage after marriage and they trash friendship after friendship because they never learned in their home growing up how to be faithful and honest and courteous and put other people first and be emotionally authentic and actually talk about how you feel inside. Or maybe they just never felt safe doing so. And so, you know, they just shut down. Dr. Edward Hollowell has written a book called simply Connect. And in this book, he says, you know, we are a nation of doers. Man, we hurry from place to place. We fill our lives with all kind of activity, sometimes overscheduling, not just for ourselves, but for our kids. And what really sustains us emotionally and psychologically and physically is connectedness. And that feeling that we're part of something that matters, that we're a part of something larger than ourselves that gives a meaning to our lives. You know, just like there's a vitamin deficiency, he says, there's a relational deficiency. And man, it weakens your body and your mind and your spirit. The ravages can be severe, depression, physical illness, early death. Sometimes the ramifications are mild, you know, underachievement, fatigue, loneliness. Just like we need vitamin C every day, we need a dose of human contact every day with other people. Well, friends, Mr. Warren and Dale and Doris and Priscilla and 2,000 other adults in our church have found a place to learn to connect in life-changing ways by joining a life group. And friends, my greatest hope is that if you're not in a life group today, you will do something about that in the next 30 days. Now here's how this sermon could go. I could just say, Jesus was in a life group. Jesus felt like he needed a life group. So Jesus did life with 12 guys that he met with every week. And if Jesus needed a life group, so do you. Let's stand for closing prayer, right? So you can go out here to Connecting Point and you can sign up right now. But that would leave me suffering from unpreached message syndrome. So let's look at some of the ways that people focused on fellowship back when the church was working right. Now, the Bible gives us a number of word pictures, you know, or metaphors, or basically saying, you know, being focused on fellowship, being spiritually connected looks like this. And friends, I can't tell you how important this is, because we have 4,000 adults who worship with us every weekend. Anybody want to say praise the Lord? Only 2,000 of them are in small groups. Only 2,000 of our 4,000 adults are really spiritually connected in our church. Now, all of the 4,000 children and students that we have here at this church are connected in life groups every week. But they're following the example of parents, and only half of them are involved in life groups. And I think the reason that many of us are not focused on fellowship yet is we either don't know the value of it or we haven't seen the value of it. So let me just try to use the Bible to paint a picture of the good that comes when we focus on fellowship. Number one, fellowship makes me spiritually solid. It makes me like a brick in a strong building. Now, this is the first analogy we see all the way through the Bible. The Bible compares the church to a spiritual building. Paul says that, you know, Paul was this great hater of Jesus who became a great missionary for Jesus. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, you are fellow citizens with the saints. You are members of the household of God. Well, that's an esteem builder, by the way. You have been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, on Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone of the church, in whom the whole structure is being joined together and is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, in Jesus, you are being built together into a dwelling place for God. Now, if you're following me on Instagram, you know that I am walking around this building out here snapping pictures at the Henderson campus like a kid in a candy store. Friends, this is a very high-tech building we're building. It's not extravagant by any sense, but it is wired for the 21st century. Friends, our church is thinking about tomorrow, not yesterday. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're building this church to reach the next four generations of Savannah Christians. So it is a very sophisticated building and has a lot of details in it. Now, we're going to start having a monthly prayer service at the end of every service at our Henderson campus on Wednesday night and Saturday night and Sunday morning starting next month. Now, we are literally going to walk through this construction site, and we're just going to bathe that whole thing in prayer. But as we're walking through that construction site, you're going to notice that there are literally tens of thousands of different parts to that building. And the key to making a building of that size solid is to make sure that all the parts fit together. Because, boy, if a beam is just a half inch short, the wall's going to be slanted and the roof will collapse. If the beam is a half inch too long, it won't fit. If you run a pipe through a hole and you want to connect it and it's a foot short, it's not going to work. If that stuff's not connected, it's not part of the building. If it's not connected, it doesn't contribute. It's not part of the building. But friends, as we're praying and we're walking across that construction site, you're going to be impressed by how many different pieces of potential building material you're going to see on the floor. I mean, bricks and wood and metal beams and switches and boxes and wires. Great stuff, expensive stuff. But as long as it's disconnected, it's not really part of the building. It's in the building. It's just not a part of the building because it's not connected. Now, friends, That is a modern day parable that describes many of you. You come to Savannah Christian. You attend here. You love it here. You're in the Savannah Christian family. You're just not really a part of the Savannah Christian family yet. It's like you're in the building, but you're not of the building because you're not connected yet. I mean, you come and sit and hear God's word and sing the songs, and you go out and you talk to people on the patio, and then you go home like a spectator, not really a participator. And friends, I'm just telling you, for your own health and your own sake, you need to get connected. Ephesians 2:21 says, we are being joined together and we are growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Man, God is building a spiritual temple here in Savannah, Georgia. It's a living temple. It's going to last forever. But if you want to be a part of it, you got to connect to it. And man, that's why I think God chose a building as an illustration of what it means to be spiritually connected. Because in a building, all the connected parts support each other. Man, beams support other beams. Walls support other walls. The roof holds all the walls together, but the walls all hold the roof up. They're all interconnected, and they're all supporting each other. Now, friends, that is one of your deepest needs in life. You need support. You need emotional support. Sometimes you're going to need physical support, and you will always need spiritual support. Where are you going to get that if you're not connected? Where are you going to get it? Who's going to hold you up? Why are you holding everybody else up? And I talk to single moms all the time. And they're like, man, I'm like the glue in this family. If I just rest, this whole thing's going to fall down. Well, who's holding you up? Where are you going to get support? Where are you going to be like a brick that's supported by other bricks and other bricks and other bricks and other bricks and other bricks that makes you stable and strong and solid? Listen, man, you were not created by God to go through life disconnected and unsupported. That violates his will for all of us, man. That kind of support that Mr. Warren and his family found in our church, they found because they were part of a life group. They were connected. And listen, you need to be in a life group before you need a life group. You know what I'm talking about? You need to be in a life group before you need one. I've said many times the best part of Savannah Christian and Compassion Christian does not happen in these worship centers. I don't know how much you love this church, but let me tell you, the best part doesn't happen here. The best part happens in life groups where you become a stable, strong part of what our God is building in our city. But that's not the only analogy that the Bible uses for fellowship. Fellowship positions us to be a vital part of a healthy body, the Bible says. You know, the Bible not only compares you to being part of the church as being like a brick in a building, but it also compares you to being part of a healthy body. You know, it says in Romans chapter 12, and this is on your note sheet now, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Say this with me, everybody. We all belong to each other. One more time, big voice. Here we go. We all belong to each other. Now, friends, this verse is literally packed with spiritual truths, but I want to point out five values that come from this verse. Number one, in a healthy church, we're all different. We're all different. We're all unique. God didn't want us all to look the same or try to be the same. I mean, if y'all all wanted to be the same, you'd all have to shave your head so you get that really holy look going. You know what I'm saying? Some of you skinny jokers will have to let me take you out for pizza a few times and all that. Listen, that's not what God wants. He don't want anybody looking like me, or he don't want anybody looking like you. You are a unique masterpiece that God created for his glory so that we could each one of us serve him in unique ways. He didn't want you copying anybody. He wants you. You're the one he created. He wants you in place. And number two, in a healthy church, we all have different roles to play. And I don't have to tell you that in a healthy body, every part does not do the same thing. I mean, can you imagine if all the parts of your body did the same thing? Like, for example, digestion. If every part of your body was devoted to digestion, your body would be redundant. It would be uncomfortable. It would be inefficient because, man, you have a lot of other things to do besides just digest food. And it would be unnecessary. And friends, can I tell you, Jesus did not make any unnecessary people in the body of Christ. We all have a unique role that we were created to fulfill. Number three, in a healthy church, everybody is needed to make the body complete. You know, Paul actually goes on to write. He says, you know, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. And the ear can't say to the nose, I don't need you. Everyone is needed in the body of Christ. Man, some parts of the body are very small, but they're still needed. Now, you may look at our church sometime and think, oh, man, this big old body of Christ called Savannah Christian, this thing is huge, man. I'm just like a little toenail in the body of Christ. You ever lost a toenail? You ever had one get ingrown, infected? Man, I had a big old ingrown toenail one time. I had a doctor cut it out. I came limping up on stage with this big old toe. Oh, listen, it would have killed anybody else, man. I'm telling you, I'm serious. But I just did it for Jesus, you know. But anyway, man, I'm telling you, when the littlest part of your body gets hurt, your body knows it because it misses the strength that part supplies. And there are no little people in the body of Christ. There are no little people in the body of Christ. You know, it's kind of like at my house. The most important light in my house is not the beautiful chandelier over our dining room table that my crazy wife just insisted that we had to have, all right? It's beautiful, but that is not the most important light in my house. You know what the most important light in my house is? It's that little night light that keeps me from stumping over stuff when I'm getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Now, that is the most important light in my house. Now, Sarah suggests that it may be the light that comes on when I open the refrigerator door. And that may actually be true. But, you know, the point is the size and the significance have nothing in common. Man, if you're a Savannah Christian or a Compassion Christian, you are a needed part of this body. You're not here by accident. Man, God brought you here on purpose, for a purpose, because you have a role to play in the body of Christ that makes up Savannah and Compassion Christian, and nobody can do your job but you. In a healthy church, we all belong to each other. Man, you have to make a commitment to Jesus by yourself, but you were never intended to try to keep that commitment by yourself. Man, the Christian life is not just a matter of believing, it's also a matter of belonging. So when I say, man, I believe in Jesus, great, you're halfway there. You still need to be a part of his body. You know, in a healthy church, we all need to be connected to each other. Now, you know what? When any part of your body is disconnected, that's a bad thing. What good is the eyeball when it's disconnected from the body? None. Eyeball cannot function unless it is attached to the body. What good is a hand? I mean, as beautiful as the hand is, what good is it if it's detached from the body? Zero. Hand can't do anything unless it's connected to the body. Now, here's the parallel. God wants you to be connected to his body because you cannot be an effective follower of Jesus, and you cannot grow spiritually unless you are connected. Now listen, man, I'm always fascinated by the conversations I have with people who visit our church for the very first time. I met a couple last weekend, came for the first time. They kind of had that deer in the headlights look, you know. And I'm always surprised at that conversation compared to any conversation I have with them a year later. The first time people walk into our campus, many of them think, holy mackerel, this is like the Superdome. It's too big. Look at all these people. They'll never get to know me. There's so many folks here. I'm going to get lost in the crowd. I'll just be a number here. Nobody's ever going to know me. I'm going to get lost. Friends, can I just tell you, newcomers are the only people in our church who feel that way. Everybody else thinks our church is not too big. Everybody else thinks our church is not big enough. You know why? Because they're connected. Now, can I tell you what my goal is for you? My goal is for you to have 60 friends at Savannah Christian Church. Not 600, not 6,000, 60 friends. You know, 60 is about the average size of churches in America, which is why so many church people come to our church and they freak out because they think their church is so big. How are you ever going to get to know everybody? What's the answer? In heaven. Right? Let's get them to heaven, okay? I mean, you don't get to know anybody's in hell, so let's get them all to heaven, all right? But you know what? People, when come from a little small church background like I did, and, you know, they know everybody in church because there's only 60 bodies in church. Now, if we can get you 60 friends in our church, that's more people than you can speak to in a weekend. That's plenty of people to know and love you and serve you if there's a tragedy in your family. That's plenty of people to celebrate you when there's a victory in your family. Friends, that's plenty of people to know and serve and celebrate you. Now, if we can get you into a life group and get you onto a ministry team, you'll have 60 friends. That's all it takes. We get you into a life group, get you on a ministry team, you will have 60 friends, and at that point, you will never think of this church as big again. Never. Won't matter if it's 600 people or 6,000 or 16,000. When you walk in, you don't see the crowd, you see your friends. And that's who you'll go sit with, and that's who you'll visit with, because you're connected. You're a part of the body. But listen, if the leg gets detached from the body, can it grow? What's the answer? No. If your arm gets detached from your body, can it grow? What's the answer? Now, I don't know how I can say it any clearer than this. You cannot be all that God wants you to be, and you cannot grow to be who God wants you to be without being attached to the body, to your church. Man, this is one of the most important connections in your spiritual life. Paul said in Colossians 2:19, the whole body is supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, and it grows as God causes it to grow. You know what a sinew is? It's that tough, fibrous material that ties your muscles onto your bones. And friends, that strong connection is what makes your body strong. And our strong sense of connection is what makes our church strong. Now, I have a picture in my head that I'm telling you I think about almost every time I leave our neighborhood, and I cherish this picture. It's a snapshot that I put on the RAM drive in my brain 15 years ago, all right? I was driving out of my neighborhood, and I looked over to the left, and there's a little pond on the left, right, as you go out of our neighborhood, and I looked over there, and I saw Mark Hall sitting on an Adirondack chair talking to my son Harrison. I didn't know why Harrison was over there. I didn't know Mark really well, so I was trying to get Harrison away from him as quick as possible. I'm just kidding about that. But, you know, Harrison is sitting there with Mark Hall, and Mark is pouring into my 15-year-old son. Now, I didn't schedule this. I didn't arrange this. But he was mentoring him and guiding him and affirming him and loving him and coaching him. Consequently, Harrison grew up in this church hearing from other voices the same values that he heard in his home. And so he grew up with a moral compass that was very strong. And he grew up with a godly sense of direction that was reinforced over and over and over again in this church by men in his life who loved him, who also loved Jesus. But friends, none of that would have happened if Harrison had not connected when he was in high school, or if Mark had not focused on fellowship. And listen, I have memories in my mind of Colin Allen, a guy that was in my life group years ago, working with, engines in his garage with my boys before our life group started. He was trying to use that fascination with engines to connect with them. And Charles McCoy and Dave Stewart and Rick Fitzer and Steve Archer and Jim Martin and Paul Coggins and Terry Lloyd and Carlton Gill, and on and on and on and on it goes. Guys who just poured into my sons. And friends, I just thank God for the blessing that has come to my family because we are a body that is focused on fellowship. Do you really want to miss that? I mean, really? You want to deny your family that? Because, you know, you can't anticipate when that defining moment is going to come that will literally affect the direction of your child's life. You can't see that in advance. You can't anticipate that. But boy, if you're connected, you'll be there when it happens. If you're a part of the body. So, you know, fellowship is like being a brick in a really beautiful, strong building. And fellowship is being like a healthy part of a really healthy body. And there's a lot more analogies, but I'll give you one more and then we'll stop. Fellowship blesses me as a sheep in God's flock. Everybody here, let me see the hands of everybody here who's a sheep in God's flock. Let me hear you say, no, I'm just kidding. All right. This is one of the analogies that we're going, really? I mean, Pastor, you had to bring that one up, right? You know, in Psalm 100, verse 3, it says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture." I don't know how appealing that sounds to you, you know, to be a sheep in God's flock. But I'm going to tell you, when I think about it, it appeals to me. Because Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep." And man, if you're a part of God's flock, then Jesus is your shepherd. And that means he's going to guard your heart and he's going to protect you. Listen, when we had Mr. Warren's funeral, I had the privilege of reading some of those promises from God's word and some of those scriptures that comfort us when we're grieving. And one of the passages I read was the 23rd Psalm. You know this. "The Lord is my shepherd." Let's say this all together, shall we? All together. This is so beautiful. Let's say it all together. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Now, don't just read this, but feel this. Embrace this. This is strong, man. Here we go. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Wow. Promise after promise after promise. Protection, comfort, blessing, presence, power. How do you think God's going to pull that off? How do you think God pulls that off? He does it through his church. through his body. You experience this when you are connected, and you don't when you aren't. Now, friends, I'm just telling you, if you infrequently show up at church every now and then, you know, you're not in a life group, you're not on a ministry team, you're basically a spectator that rolls in here every 2 or 3 weeks, watches the show and goes home, don't expect this to happen in your life. You're not positioned for it. You're like the child who doesn't care where daddy is, doesn't care where the shepherd is, doesn't care where the flock is. You're going to do your own thing. However, if you are connected and participating and consistent as a player in God's work, you will experience his protection in a way that he just cannot help you if you are not connected. I bet you've heard the old joke about the guy who was caught in a flood, you know, and he finally had to climb up on the roof to get away from the water, and he's scared to death, and so, you know, he ran out of other options. He started to pray, God, please protect me and save me. And man, he just was trusting the Lord to save him from that flood. And this guy pulls up in a boat and says, hey man, come on and climb in. He says, nope. God's going to save me. I've been praying about it. God's going to save me. And the water got up higher. A helicopter comes by, drops a rope ladder down. Hey man, climb up this ladder. We'll fly to safety. He said, nope. I prayed to God. God's going to save me. A few minutes later, a big wave came over, washed him off the roof, drowned him. He shows up in heaven, ticked off. Lord, I prayed. I thought you was going to save me. And God said, I sent you a boat and a helicopter, brother. What did you want? Right? Now listen. If you think you can live a life disconnected from the body of Christ and experience the protection and the provision of God, that is nothing but narcissism. Dude, that is nothing but narcissism. But if you're a part of his flock, you're going to be blessed. Listen, 98% of the people that we surveyed in our life group say, I'd recommend everybody getting in one of them. But boy, if you wander off or you refuse to connect, I'm just telling you, man, it's going to be tough. I tell people all the time, if you want great care at Savannah Christian, you have to join a life group. If you want great care, you know, I've been to these hospital rooms, you know, where I get a call, somebody's at the hospital, and I go out there, and the nurses won't let me go back. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, there's only two in a room. I said, what are you talking about, only two in a room? They said, well, they already got two visitors. I said, I'm the pastor. I said, well, there's already some pastors back there. I said, no. I'm the pastor. I'm like the prime minister. You know what I'm saying? The big kahuna, girlfriend. Get out of the way. And they're like, you know, I go back there. And you know who's there? Their home group. Their home group's there. They've already called a pastor that's working with their home group. I mean, people are already there. It's just, it's an amazing thing. Now, if you want great care at Savannah Christian, you have to be in a life group. If you're not in a life group, we can't take care of you. I mean, we want to. We'll try. But listen, in the New Testament, the church took care of people through small groups. They took care of people as folks met and studied the Word of God and prayed for each other and ministered to each other from house to house. That's how they did it in the Bible. That's how we do it. And if you want great care at our church, you've got to be in a life group. And if you're not in a life group, we're going to do the best we can. But I'm just telling you, you will not get the kind of pastoral care at our church that you could get if you were in a life group. So I would just encourage you, don't distance yourself from God's flock. If you're smart, you're going to want to get right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of that flock. And if you do, I'm telling you, you'll be glad you did. I'm going to read you a letter from my email that I got from my buddy Greg. Greg was my neighbor for years and years and years, and then he abandoned me and moved out to Tybee. Sorry, dog. But anyway, he was my neighbor for a long time. And here's what he wrote me. He said, Cam, Sandy and I came to Savannah Christian for 6 years before we joined a life group. One morning after church, Sandy pulled me into a meeting they were having on new life group startups. That's a godly woman, amen? That's a godly woman. He needed a little bit of direction there. It was there that we met Chip and Donna Winters. Now, that group became so close, so quick, it was crazy. We had such great leadership with Chip and Donna leading that group. I don't think I would be leading a group today if it was not for Chip encouraging me. Now, the life group on Tybee, now let me just say this about it. He said, the life group on Tybee is now in its second year, and our group is very special to us. I remember when Greg moved out to Tybee, he told me the first thing he was going to do is start a life group when he got there. And I thought, that's what I'm talking about right there. It's a godly man. He's been blessed. He's not moving away from that blessing. So he's going to start a life group. He said, it's been very special to us. The relationships we've made with our group give us a peace of mind that we're always, you know, there are always godly men and women there who are there for you when you need them. They're there to pray for you when you need advice or just somebody to talk to. He said, 20% of our group does not attend Savannah Christian yet. I'm just kidding about that. Now, he said, but we all love Jesus. And thank God for that, right? Our life group has become a second family for us. And for some people in the group, it's their only family. It means so much to be able to give help and give advice to someone in the group, or to be able to just go to somebody in the group for advice and know that you're going to get godly advice and direction. Every Tuesday night is a Bible study, but the fellowship in the room is so loving and so sincere. It means so much to be able to lay hands on one another and pray for each other in our home. Our group takes on community projects here at Tybee to help people in the community, and hopefully we'll be able to lead someone to Christ. Since joining our first life group, Sandy and I have become closer and in love with each other more than ever before. It's a growing process when we're around Christian men and women. It's made me want to treat Sandy better and be there for her. That's what it means to be with Christian men. Being with Christian men will do that for you. And it's been, and still is, a humbling experience. Sandy has experienced that same spiritual growth also with the godly women that she associates with. We pray together more than we used to. My children now go to Bible studies and life groups. My grandkids go to life groups. That's the power of a life group. It's great. We missed out on 6 years of love and fellowship and prayer and spiritual growth by not joining a life group sooner. We are so glad that Savannah Christian promotes life groups and encourages people to get involved. The church definitely gets smaller when you join a group. Thank you for great. Now, let me talk to the 2,000 adults who are making the same mistake today that Greg made for 6 years. That brother lived two doors down from me. And he will tell you, if you ask him, that we had many conversations. And I would ask him sometimes, so have you joined a life group yet? That's a friendly question, right? So have you joined a life group yet? And he would go, just like that. Not yet. We're working on it. For 6 years. Not yet. And when he got in Chip Winter's group, he came over to my house and thanked me. He said, Cam, I cannot believe we waited 6 years to do this. And I said, me neither. that's a gracious pastor, right? I mean, that's a gracious pastor. But friends, some of you are doing the same thing. You are one decision away from a focus on fellowship that's going to change your life. And I know what some of y'all are thinking right now. Well, Cam, I tried it before. Try it again. Get up. Try it again. I didn't like my first group. Well, I didn't like the first girl I dated, but I didn't quit dating. And you know what? Eventually, I found Sarah. I kissed a lot of frogs before I found that. No, I'm just kidding about that. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't quit just because you have one bad experience. I don't know how to get started. Take this sheet, go to that website, stop out here at Connecting Point or wherever it is at your campus and say, I want to get in a life group. I want to lead a life group. I want in today. And let me tell you, somebody will help you get in today. Friends, you will never know how rich your life in Christ can be until you begin to focus on fellowship like Jesus did. And like the disciples did, and like every Savannah Christian hopefully will do. Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity we have to be together and talk about how the church works when it's working right. Because it just is a source of blessing for everybody. It gives us friends like we've never had before. People praying for us like we've never had before. People serving us and loving us like we've never had before. Father, this is a little colony of heaven, where we're trying to learn how it will be and how life should be. And I just pray, God, that you would draw everyone in our church family and everyone outside of our church family into our life. I pray that the day will come when there will be more people in life groups than go to church here. But I pray that today, 1,000 adults will make that decision to honor you by focusing on fellowship. And I pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.